we're in business.
We're on Daf Yukim Alf, but I kind of glossed over the last Gemara last night. I really want to just do it over again. Last three lines on Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says there. Five lines. The fifth line from the bottom. Rabbi Yosef Shem Ravo Shol Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef Ravo asked Rabbi Yochanan. Hadam Rosh Shniel Sein Lehem Hefsek. It sounds like Shniels go all the way up and down the line, which is, of course, something which we saw already several times, but he's repeating that Shniels go up and down the line. Amr Leisli said, V'chi Shniel, Shniel Shoshoninu? So he says, you think that they're Xeros look Xeros? Don't think they're Xeros look Xeros. It's not. They're all one Xero. Lo Sha, Lo Shniel, Lo, Shniel is Divrei Torah. They're all Xero to Divrei Torah. However, the thing is, Kula Mishum Kalas Beno. Very interesting perspective the Korban Eder brings down here, that really the Raisa, your son's daughter-in-law is put permissible to you. But we find in the Torah that your children, your grandchildren, you call your children, Bnei Banim Areim Kibonim, because you find that Ephraim Umnash Krumim Shimon Yuli. So therefore, it's proper for Chazal to ask for Kalas Beno, your son's daughter-in-law, right? Again, Rav and Omrav permitted your daughter's daughter-in-law because it's not, you know, in the same line, right? But your son's daughter-in-law is proper to ban. So we ban that, and all the other Arias, all the other Shnias which are banned, are all based on that. So it's based on that relationship, all the other ones surround it. Rabbi Chizkim Shir Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yavo said, Rabbi Yavo Lo Markei, was not the one who asked this question. Rather, Rabbi Lezer, Shor Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Lezer asked Rabbi Yochanan, Shmona Shneos Shaninu. We learned eight Shneos in the Brisa on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Harei Teisha, but Kalas Beno is another one, and that's the ninth one. So Rabbi Yochan answered, V'kulon Mishum Kalas Beno. No, all of them, Rabbi Kalas Beno is not mentioned as one of them, even though it's a ninth one, a separate one, because it is the root for all other Shneos. All the Shneos are based on the principle of Bnei Banim Areim Kibonim, and everything else surrounds that concept of Bnei Banim Areim Kibonim. Okay, so that's the idea of the little Shneos which go up and down the line, the Bnei Banim Areim Kibonim aspect. Okay, let's go weiter. Mishi Yesh Lo Ach. Somebody has a brother, Mikomakom, no matter where the brother is from. Zokei Kesei Shalach of the Evil requires the brother's wife to be Mishiyah Bemis. Vachiv Lo L'chol Davar, and he is his brother in all matters. Chutz Mimashi Yesh Lo Mina, well, it's his brother in any way, shape, or form. Even a mamzer, of course, if it's his brother from his father, with the exception of a brother whose father gave birth to from a slave woman or from a shiksa, in which case there's no relationship between him and his brother, and of course there's no yibum in that situation, right? There has to be a relationship which is sanctioned by Jewish law. Mishiyesh, well, not sanctioned by Jewish law, but which is Jewish by Jewish law. Mishiyesh, similarly, Mishiyesh lo ben mikol makom. If the deceased brother has a son in any way, shape, or form, poter seishes soviv mina yibum, then is his father's wife is exempt from the yibum. V'chayev amakosav akloso, and he's liable if he hits his father, or if he curses his father, and it's a child in any way, even is born very very far wedlock, even when it's a mom's there again, born from somebody else's wife, with the exception of if a father has a child from a shivchor or a nochri, then that does not count for exempting from yibum. Exempting his wife from yibum, his wife still has to undergo yibum or chalitza.
Isn't this all pshita?
It is pshita, right. Mora's going to make a little bit of a difference here. Rabbi Avin stated, actually, here, Ubnol Chodor, that which he said is children all matters, even if it's an illegitimate child, it's a feel of prayer of a rivia. It's even in terms of Purvu, he fulfilled Purvu. In other words, if a guy had a mom's there, then it's still Purvu, he fulfills. That counts. Now here, the Gemara in the next three lines is very messed up. So I'm going to read you the language of from this Vilishnia until the word until more or less the word Viyolda. In three lines later, it's very messed up. And this is what it should say. Say, according to the Shaitar Seretz Yisrael, and there are other ways of learning, there are other ways of changing the gears here, but that's the one which works the best. It says, V'lo shanyo, not V'lishniyo. It says, V'lo shanyo, there's no difference between goy, ha'bo abas Yisrael, between a goy who has relations with a Jewish woman, V'yold, and she gives birth, v'chakon nisgayer, and then the goy becomes a ger, v'chazer bo'le, and he has relations with the same woman again, v'yolda, and then she gives birth again. So it's actually the same two people had two children in a row, one of which conceived when the husband was still not Jewish, the other was conceived when the husband was already Jewish. Okay? Or vice versa. She was always Jewish. Right, she was always Jewish. Or vice versa. Bein Yisrael Shabal Goya, or a Yisrael had relations with a Shiksa, the old, and she gave birth. Chakin Yisgayer, and then she became converted. Because her Baal, and then he had relations with her, the old, and she gave birth. So that's all the opposite case, where first the girl was not Jewish, and then afterwards the girl became Jewish. So both these cases, continuing on the third line, B'chor l'nachla, the child which is born when both partners are Jewish, is considered to be the firstborn vis-a-vis nachla, vis-a-vis inheritance, and he gets double. V'ena b'chor l'chor l'chor, it's not a b'chor vis-a-vis pinin ha-ben. Why? Because pinin ha-ben has to be peter rechem. Has to be the father's peter rechem in this woman. And so the peter rechem occurred either when he was not Jewish and therefore his potter from pinin ha-ben, or when she was not Jewish and therefore his potter from pinin ha-ben. So that p'tur remains, because there has to be the opening of the womb. But the next child to be born, which is the first child born where both are Jewish, that's the one who gets pishnaim, who gets double in the portion of the father. Okay? So set.
If let's say these two boys are born, one before the mother converted and one after the mother converted,
yeah,
they grow up, get married. The Jewish child gets married. He dies, leaves a wife without a child.
Yeah, there's no.
Is there
no relation for Hebrew? Completely not. Right, that's exactly the point. Not directly, no, but it's assumed that that's the case. You're right, it's not directly discussed here. Says Mora, Goy Shabal Goya Violda. If a Goya has relations with, two non-Jews, they have a child.
Why they use the word Goy and Goya? I don't know what you call that.
Well, in the Bavli, it's excised because of censorship. So here, I guess the Yerushalmi didn't bother censoring as much, but you're right. You don't, it's
either Kuti or
Kuti or Akum, right. This is said. They avoided censorship, the Yerushalmi. It's a good point. So, Goy Shibo, Goy Aviol. Goy Shibo, Goy Aviol, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Page 25, and we're in the fifth line in the Gemara. Go, 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 let's go, let's go. You give them out. Goy Shabo, Goy, the fifth line. There's an extra Gemara on the shelf there.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, you have it, Goy Shabo, Goya? No, you don't. Goy Shabo, Goya, here. Okay, Goy Shabo, Goya. A Goy man has relations with a Goy woman. The old and she gives birth. Rabbi Yochanan, Goyim Yeshlem Yachasim. Rabbi Yochanan says a goy is related to his kids. He's related to his kids. They are related to each other. Rav Shimon, no, don't guess anything. Rav Shimon, goyim ain lam yachasim. A goy is not related to his children. They have no relations. They have no relationships. Okay? That's what it says here. Vark Siv, so ask the more amazing questions we have here. What about it says, Ba'esay Sholach, at that time, there was sent from Merodach Baladon ben Baladon, he was one of the Babylonian kings. Merodach Baladon ben Baladon sent a message, a Melech sent a message, B'chol Svarim, in all sorts of books, a Mincha, and a gift of Chizkio. So it says here that you have, you have a guy who's called Pliny ben Pliny. If Koy... What? You wait till you see the next one. So if that's the case, so Goy must be related. Otherwise, it couldn't say, you know, Christopher, son of John, right? So since it says, it must be that related. Now, actually, the Bavli in Daf Samach Beis says, as a result of this, you know, they pack up shop. They say, you're right. Goyim do have relations among each other as long as they're Goyim. But once they convert, as we know, all the relationships are dissolved. But the Gemara here doesn't, it's obstinate. The Yerushalmi says, no. Aidei shekibed zchenu zoch liyisyaches. He had a certain merit there. It says there that the Bavli brings down the mice in more detail, that his father turned, looked like a dog. He had some disease which he learned like a dog, but still he gave him COVID as if he was still the king, even though he could no longer act as king, even though it, so whatever. So there, it's a special dignity we gave him. It's like an honorary title. You're talking the son of your father. We'll give you this chus. But not normally, a guy is not related to his father.
The story about the Paraduma, wasn't there a story where the son didn't want to disturb the father?
Dumb and Sina, but that's not in Tanakh.
Yeah,
but that's not, they might not be related just because
he gave cover to
his father. But of course the Goyim think they're related to their parents. The question is whether they're correct in thinking they're related to their parents. They might be foolish enough to think it even though it's not logically correct. So says the Gemara, Vark Siv doesn't say Vayishlach HaMelech Asa, the King Asa sent the message El Ben Adad Ben Tavrimon Ben Chezion Melech Aram Hayoshev Damesek Lemor. So he sent the message to this guy Ben Adad, and it says Ben Adad was the son of his father, the son of his father. So we see here relationships. Says one, no, Koitzitz Ben Koitzitz. What he said is murderer son of a murderer. In other words, a kotetz is a cutter down. So he didn't mean that he was really his parents' child. He wasn't his father's child. He was a stinker from a stinking family. That's what it meant. Kemada Tamar, like it says an amazing thing. It says in the Esther, Ki Hamad Ben Amdosa. Hamad said Amdosa. Says the Yerushalmi, Ki Ben Amdosa Hava. Was he the son of Amdosa? He wasn't the son of Amdosa. I don't know, maybe Amdosa was his grandfather. Maybe Amdosa's not even related to him. It's not clear. But it says, Elitzayr ben Tzayr. So Haman was, of course, anguish of the Jews, Sorer Ayudim. And Haman Amdosa was Sorer Ayudim. Right? It says, Ki Haman ben Amdosa Sorer Ayudim. So the Yerushalmi is learning that Amdosa was a Tzayr, and so too was Haman. Actually, the Shari Torah Sitzroel changed the gears to this one. I don't know what authority, except for yours. He says, Haman Amdasa Agogi, and he says, he actually puts the word, Ki Haman Amdasa Agogi, and as Yushami adds, Ki Ben Agog Oyer. That he actually wasn't related to Agog. That he really wasn't from Agog at all. Right? The what? Yeah, but Masech the Seferim doesn't bring it down. In lineage of Masech the Seferim and the Targum Sheni, it doesn't bring down Agog. There is such, I still want to perish like that, that Haman was not really from... Yeah, no, there's famous story that Shaul left Agog alive. But I once heard somewhere, I don't remember where, that another conflicting medrash, that really he wasn't even an Amaleki. He just called himself an Agogi because he liked the ideology. You know, it's like, I'm a Nazi. You know, that's what he was saying. That was the idea. So that's actually in line with the Shire Territory Israel. But I don't know anybody else who changed the gears, so I don't see any point in going along with that. So in any event, but you know that the Lubavitchers, they only clap Haman when they say Haman ben Amdasa. Yeah, they don't clap Haman for Haman. So it could be a little bit of a tzimikor here in the Yerushalmi, right? Because when it's Haman ben Amdasa, it's a double whammy, Tzorer ben Tzorer. So that's why they said do it then. You're asking good. The question is whether they can inherit each other. When a goy dies, is there an automatic right of inheritance? It's before Matan Torah. Stock answer. What? There is an Isarais, but it's mostly Eishes Ish. At Lumaisa, though, we paskin like the Bavli, that they do have Yachayas. So therefore, we do paskin that they have limited relations. But I think all based on the mother, not on the father. The Goel Goymerks, they're not to have fathers. Yeah, basically. But they don't have fathers, only mothers. Something like that. I forget exactly how it works. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, you know what it said? Vaksiv doesn't say Utsiva Chamisha Sarbonim. It says Tziva was a goy, he was might even have been an Evan. He had 15 sons, Vasim Avonim, and 20 daughters. And 20 slaves. Vavadi Yeshem Yichus. So Tziva was a slave. What kind of Yichus does he have? So how could he even say that he had 15 sons? It's an amazing concept. The Tanakh seems to be saying something based on Lashon Bnei Adam. But the Yerushalmi is saying it very seriously. You know, how can it say kids if they're not kids? So it says, well, there's actually two words. Baal Limnos is coming to count Shom Tisha Mephibosheth, the losses to Mephibosheth. If you recall, Tziva was Mephibosheth's slave who undermined him and went to snitch on him to David. So therefore, it's going to say is that Mephibosheth, as a result of the whole... conflict with Tziva, actually he lost Tziva as a slave. Tziva was given half of the land of Mephibosheth. There was a whole episode there. David was punished for that later on. But in any event, there it's just going to tell us not to count them as children literally, but to count them as losses to Mephibosheth. The language the Bavli uses in this case is when it says that they were Tziva's sons, which Bavli says, just like you would say a par ben bakor, a bull son of a cow. Is it really a son? There's no yichus by animals, right? But what it means is that a biological, a zoological phenomenon. And here too, it's the same thing. It doesn't mean they're halachically kids. It means zoologically they were his kids, and they were. But really, it's just coming to tell us what losses Mephibosheth suffered as a result of Tziva's mutiny there. Okay? Says the Gemara, how do we know that a shivcha, if you have relations with her, the kids are not the kids are not the Jews. It says Aisha v'Ladat Yel Adonai. It says if a Jewish slave has relations with a shivcha, then the wife, the shivcha, and the children belong to the master. They're not his. Nachris, how do you know if you have relations with a non-Jewish woman? Then it's not your kids, because it says Rabbi Yochanan Amar B'Shem Hashem Ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Name Rabbi Shem Ben Yochai." Uksiv it says, "Lo tischatim bam." Says, "Do not marry among them." Uksiv it says, "Why? Ki osis bincha me'achorai." It's they're going to remove. It's going to remove your kids from behind me, meaning that the goyim, who are the family of the woman who this poor Jew marries, they're going to undermine the Judaism of the kid. So that means that the kid must not be Jewish. In other words, it's not talking about they're going to be merachikim spiritually, but it means that they're going to be distanced halachically because the kid is not going to be Jewish. Okay? as they say, Bincha Misra, it should mean Bincha Misraelis. Your son from a Jewish woman, Kare Bincha, is considered to be your son. Vein Bincha Migoya, your son from a non-Jewish woman, is not Kare Bincha, called your son, Ella Benova, rather her daughter, his son. Nevertheless, there was Chas V'Shalom to say such a thing literally, but just as an example, there was a Reform rabbi among Chazal. Who was the Reform rabbi? Yaakov Ish Gevure. Of course, he wasn't really a Reform rabbi, I'm just saying that it's a joke. But what did he do? He kashered patrilineal descent. As a Litzor, he went to Tyre, Asun Charlene Lay, and they came and asked him, Mao Migza Breidar Amaisa B'Shuksa. If a Jew has a son by a Shiksa, and the 8th day comes on a Shabbos, Ki Michal Shabbos to Mao the kid. Okay? That was the question. So the sovereign mission. A Jew has a kid with a non-Jewish woman. Can you do the bris milah on the 8th day if it comes on a Shabbos? Okay? So the Savar, he thought Mishilon. He wanted to permit them to be Nadav from here. It says, they were counted in the census as to how they were given birth and families, Lebeis Avaisam, by their father's house. So we see that it goes by their father's house. So patrilineal descent, right? The father is Jewish, that's enough.
That's for inheritance. That's for...
Shama Rabbi Chagai. Rabbi Chagai said, and this is what we should do with all Reform rabbis. Yesei Aisune, let them bring him to me. Dialke, that we should flog him. See, if we did that more often, there would be less Reform rabbis around. Yes. I don't remember. Could be. I didn't look up to see if there was, but could be. So I'm our lay. So Yaakov Ishkuriah said, "Wait a minute, Meichonat Malkeni." I thought, okay, from what pasuk are you flogging me? I'm our lay. So they said, "Minado." I said, from here, the Sivit says in Ezra, "Va'atoni chros pisa okeinu." It says they said, "Let's make a covenant to Kodesh Baruch Hu and remove the non-Jewish wives and children which we have." So we see that they're not called their wives and children. Amar lei, so Yaakov Ishi, they said, Yaakov Ish Kibur, they said, "Mina kapola malkeni." You mean Malkus based on Paskin Nach? It's not fair. It's me Paskin Teira. It's mamish like Reform, right? So on my lay, so he said, no, it says there in Ezra, Uketelo Yaseh, that to do not the Torah itself. On my lay, so Yaakov said, Min Hade Uriah, from what passage in Torah? On my lay, so he said, Me'ahidom Rabbi Yochan, Bishem Rabbi Shem Be'echai. So that which Rabbi Yochan said, Rabbi Shem Be'echai. He said, Ksiv, it says, Lot Yischadibom, says, who I marry them. Uksiv, and it says, Ki Yoseh Bincha Me'acharai. Because it's going to remove your kid from behind me, from Judaism. Bincha Yisrael, your son from a Jew, is or Israelis, Karui, a Jewish woman, Kari Bincha is called your son. Bincha Migoya, Kari Bincha, Elevena, your son from a non-Jewish woman is not called your son, rather her son. Amar Leh, so Yaakov said, Chavait Chavatcha, beat me up. It's good to absorb these blows. In other words, the tshuva, he wanted to learn the lesson. Now he's willing to accept the flogging. Okay, as I say, we should test what? If it wasn't, you mean exotic, not strange. Exotic. So, isn't that good? What's bothering you? The Goyim. Yeah. Do you think a Goyish marriage is actually binding? Why should a Goyish marriage be binding? But who says they have rules? Yeah. So that's what Yerushalmi is talking about, where they have rules. In fact, they do. In fact, they do have Eishes Ish. They do have rules like that, but it's not so simple. As a matter of fact, Eishes Ish is more relevant to them, as we mentioned, than Yichus. Because Yichus is based on family relationships, and that they do not have. But Eishes Ish is a pure concept of ownership or purchase or acquisition. So that they were bonding that they would have. Okay, on we go. A guy married one of two sisters. Not a human situation. Vayner Deize, he doesn't know which one he married. They both look the same. They were twins. So, Nosi get lazu. He's got to give a get to each one. Mace. Now it's turned to a human situation. The guy dies. Velo Achechot, he has one brother. Who doesn't know which he doesn't... The husband doesn't know which sister he married. The brother's going to know. So, so if he has one brother, that brother's got to do chalit to the both, because we don't know which one's actually married to him. If he's got two brothers, one does chalit to one does yibu. Karmu v'kansu, if what happens to both of them do yibu. So any Latino is from the other, we don't make them divorce her. Why shouldn't they both do yibum though? Can you think why they shouldn't both do yibum? L'chat kilo. Well, the secret's only in one of them. What?
So if he does yibum on one guy does yibum, so there's no more secret for the other.
Right, so why shouldn't they both do yibum? Says in Chatchila they both shouldn't do Yibum. But yeah, if they did do Yibum, they get to keep her. Each one gets to keep his wife. Why shouldn't they both do Yibum? That's a question. I'm looking for an answer.
I thought that was the answer.
What's the answer? Yeah, but that's just, so why can he marry her then? Remember, his brother was only married to one of them, not both of them. They were two sisters. He couldn't have been married to both of them.
Right.
So what's the problem? One brother marries her because of Yibum, and the other marries her because she was never married before. You don't. Why do you have to know? But no matter what, it'll come out okay. Because one of them is even doing evil, one of them is doing meaningless act. Only one of them was actually married to the guy, right? Only one could be married, because now it's married two sisters. So now if they both do evil, one of them is going to be doing evil, one of them is going to be marrying a woman who's never married before. What's the problem? No? No. That's if they were both married to the brother. Here only one was married to the brother.
This was a suffix, not a suffix.
But that's not the problem. The problem is the B'nai Moshe Korbanayas say, I'm not allowed to do Yibum to the sister of my Yivama. In other words, if one guy did chalitza and the other guy did yibum, so by the time he does yibum, manavshach, no matter what, he's okay. If the first one was the yivama, so he's not doing yibum, he's just marrying the woman, because the first one who had chalitza, and the one chalitza, she went out, right, and now he can do whatever he wants to this girl, right? If, however, the first guy did yibum and then he does yibum, so if the first Yibum was the valid one, Gesunta Eid. Because then Yibum took place, and then there's an extra sister around, let the other brother marry her, no problem with that. But if the first guy did Yibum on the sister who wasn't actually married, of course, since we do not know, so he's doing Yibum on the sister of a woman to who he has a Yavama relationship. And that's forbidden. You're not allowed to marry achos de kukoso. We have never really seen that yet, but that's you're not allowed, chatchila, you're not allowed to marry achos kukoso. It's a one-time problem though, because immediately after that, his brother went to his miyabim and Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. So thereby, the first Bia, the first relations which he had with his with this woman, he transgressed the prohibition of Achos Kukoso. But then when his brother came along and did Yibum to the second one, so then it's no longer Achos Kukoso because the second one is taken care of. So therefore, he can remain with her if he took her ready, even though he took her Be'eser. Okay? It's complicated. What can I tell you? But the principle here is that you're not allowed the Chatchila to marry Achos Kukoso, to marry the sister of a woman to whom you have a relationship of Yavam and Yavam. Okay? Now, Mishukina Shahash Be'achis. Some of you have one of two sisters. Venio de Laiza Shakir Laiza. It's just a quote from the mission. Venio de Laiza Kira, she doesn't know which one he married. No, he's saying, get Lizu, get Lizu. He gives a get to each one. Mace. If he dies, he's got one brother. Chalitz Lishtei, and the brother does Chalitz to both of them. Now, that's the old quote from Mishnah. B'chosar. Ask more. It's really about Batish's question, no offense to you guys. But it's about Batish's question, why did you do two chalitzas? The Chorasar, Atamar in chalitza chalitza, you only do one chalitza. Here, Vachatamar Chedi are making him do two chalitzas. Why? Says the Gemara, that's not a kasha. Kambavadi, where you have definitely two tzoros, so only you have to do one chalitza between the two. But here it's a savi, you don't know which one is actually the wife, so of course you have to do chalitzas, right? Similarly, Hailoshnaim, we said if you had two brothers, one does chalitza, one does yibum. B'chosar, everywhere, atoymer, b'chom, atoymer, b'chom, okay, say in all places, b'chom, 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 in all places, they tell him to yibum, and I'm real close, you don't say do chalitza on the other one. V'chom, atochen, you require yibum of one and chalitza on the other. Why? So says the Gemara, kan bevadai, kan besofek. It's one is a vadai, one is a sofek. That, in other words, when it's a vadai, between the two co-wives, you only have to do one. But when it's a sofek, between the two co-wives, you have to take care of each one. They're not really co-wives, but each one is a sofek wife. Kadmu v'konsoim mitzino of sovyar. Now, we said, of course, if you took them, but the evad, so then we don't make you get divorced. Now, the next Gemara is kind of messed up. Obviously, it's a quote from the mission, but there's nothing in the Gemara going on that. So it seems like it's out of left field. So actually, the way the Korban Eder Shari Torah Tzitzrog learn it, they throw in here the parts of the next Gemara. And the way they throw it in is like follows. The Gemara after the next Mishnah. And they start with the second line of the Gemara after the next Mishnah. The Gemara after the next Mishnah, Mr. Zuger. They throw in here the Gemara after the next Mishnah. Okay, in the second line after the next Mishnah. Hodadatamar, the last word in the line. You gotta sit closer, I can't reach this far. Hodadatamar, they start from here. Hodadatamar, that's only Bishachot Vachachachibi. Right? And it's explaining our Mishnah. It's okay when the first brother is chalitza, then the second brother can do yibum. Avol yibim betchilo aser. But as he mentioned before, the chatchila, they shouldn't both do yibum. What if one did yibum first? That's forbidden. Shema yav musachiv. Because maybe his brother will die before his brother does yibum or chalitza. V'nitzo kivar l'chosivim tov. And he had relations with his Yavama's sister prior to Chalitza or Yibum having taken place. So this is again mentioning why the Chatchila we forbid both to do Yibum. Because maybe the first guy is going to do Yibum and then the second brother is going to drop dead and then the Yavama is left dangling because she never had Yibum or Chalitza and this guy is married to the sister of the Yavama, which is a prohibition. Okay, so that's the Chatchil, we don't let both of them do Yibum, because wherever the first guy is going to transgress an Isser. Now, so going back to the beginning of the Gemara here, Tani, we learned, both Yisraelim and Kohanim have this halacha, that even Kohanim who did the wrong thing, and they both did Yibum, they don't have to divorce their wives because of this. Why? Because the fact that I had relations with the sister of my Avama doesn't make her Chalola. Right? It's not a problem. I could still remain married to her. Even though I made an Aveira, I shouldn't have had relations with the sister of my Avama until the Avama was taken care of first, but I'm still allowed to remain married to this woman. Okay? Says... What? It doesn't matter. Chalut is also the Rabbanan to a Kohen. So I might say Achos Yivam is also the Rabbanan to a Kohen as well. Maybe it's a Chalut. No, it's not true. It's a Chalut of the Rabbanan. A Chalut is a Chalut of the Rabbanan. Yeah. Yeah. Chalut is a Chalut of the Rabbanan. No, there's Chalol de Rabbanan too, just like this Mamzer de Rabbanan, there's Chalol de Rabbanan. So now we go to one more line from beyond, well actually a few more lines, beyond the paragraph we did before, four lines down here in the Gemara. I'm Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, Hada Amara, this teaches us, based on what we just said, that Habal Achos, Chalutza, so it's not supposed to be Chalutza, it's supposed to be Zkukasa. That somebody has relations with the sister of his Kuka, Lo Pasaminakuna. It's not a Chol de Rabbanan. I might have thought it makes a Chol de Rabbanan that have relations with the sister of a woman who still is Yavama, so she's not. Rabbi Yosef, but by Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Ba said, Tani Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia also taught us the bride, so Habal Chol Zkukasa. So he has relations with the sister of the woman to whom he has a Zika relationship. Lopasami Akuna still does not render her unfit from the Kuna. Okay? So again, if you have a Yavama, a relations with the sister, even if you're a Kohen, you didn't make her a Chalol and you still have to be married to her. Okay, let's go now to Allah Chachez, to the Mishnah. The Mishnah we skip. Shnaim, all that was being put, the Shai Terzal and the Korbanei put into the previous Gemara. Now, Kishnaim Shekitrus Teachios. This is complicated already. Two brothers marry two sisters. Zaino Dele Zakidish, Zaino Dele Zakidish. Obviously, these are major klutzes. Okay, but you have two twins marrying two twins. Neither of them remembers which twin they married. Okay, idiots. No, Zeno Sitch Tekitim, Zeno Sitch Tekitim. Each brother's got to give two gets. One to each one, right? Mason, what if they die? Lezeach ulezeach. Oh, they're not necessarily two brothers. They're two people. I said two brothers, a mistake. Two people married two sisters. Now, if they died, these two people, and each one had a brother, zechol etzishteim, each brother of the deceased has two chalitz on each one. Zechol etzishteim, zechol etzishteim. Lezeach ulezeachnaim. Now, what if one of these people had one brother, and the other one had two brothers? So, Ayichidi, the one brother, Cholitz Hashem does Cholitz on both of them. Because we don't know which one was really his brother's wife. Vashnaim of the other two, Echo Cholitz Echo Miabim. One does Cholitz and one does Yibum. Karma the Kansu, if both did Yibum, Emut Sivyorim, we do not make them divorce their wives. Now, says the Gemara, discussing this, going to the past everything we skipped to the sixth line from the bottom, the last word in the line. Mesu Lizach is a quote from the Gemara. Mesu is from Mishnah. Mesu, if they die, Lizach, 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 each one of their brothers has two chalitzah for both of them. B'chalasan, the same question we had in the previous Gemara. B'chalasan, Adamarin, Chalitzah, Chalitzah, every place you say we do not need two chalitzahs. Well, Adamarin, Chalitzah, you say we need two, too. Says, Markam, Bavari, Kamasavi, depends on Bavari, it's a Savi. Here it's a Savi. So therefore, since you don't know which one is actually the wife, they have two chalitzah both. It's not like two co-wives. And again, Lezecho, Lezech, Nine. If one had one brother and the other had two brothers, Haychidi, Chalitzah, Shteim. The one brother, in his capacities, potential you have of each one of them, does chalitza to both one of them. Vashani, the two brothers of the other guy, echo chalitza, one does chalitza, one does ibu. B'chon asar, mo atomar,
So again, the same question we had before. Everywhere else you said, any place they don't tell a guy, do Yibu, man, or Milo, Chalot. If you don't say Yibu, you don't say Chalitza. Here you say that you can do wherever you say Yibu, I'm sorry. You don't say Chalitza, you say you do say Yibu and Chalitza at the same time. Again, Kamvai, Kamvasavi, it's not a gotcha. Because it's one is Varai, then you do either Chalitza or Yibu. But where it's a Safi, so then, since you don't know which is which, you can do both. Again, if they marry, so then we allow them both to keep their wives. Now, here too, something's missing. But it's a one-liner, which is put after the next Mishnah, because it applies both to Halacha Ches and to Halacha Tes, as we'll see in a moment. Now, if this is complicated till now it gets really complicated. But it's a lighthearted case. Lighthearted case. See? Can you see? This case. There are two sisters, Rachel and Leah. There are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And another three brothers, not related, Moshe, Aaron, and Nachshon. Reuven married either Rachel or Leah. He doesn't remember which one. Moshe married Rachel or Leah. He doesn't remember which one. Rachel and Leah don't remember which one. Deservedly so, Reuven and Moshe kicked the bucket. Okay? Now what do we do? That's a questionable marriage, Suffolk marriage. Here it's a Suffolk marriage, not by their marriage. Okay? So what do you do? So in each case, one of the brothers has got to do Chalitza. Right? Aaron's got to do Chalitza on one, and Shimon's got to do Chalitza on one. But the other brother could do Yibum on the other one. Right? So here, Rachel, if Shimon did Chalitza on Rachel, so Levi can marry Leah. See, his circle corresponds to Leah's circle. If Aaron did Chalitza on Leah, then Nachshon can marry Rachel. So each brother, in each set of brothers, one brother does Chalitza, right? And the other brother can then do Yibum. Okay, on the other one. That's the case. Each one of two brothers, each set of brothers, one that's Chalitza. Achim Shelzeh Miyabim, and the other brother can be Miyabim Chalitza Shelzeh, can be Miyabim Chalitza of the other guy. The two of them did, they're idiots. Okay, here. Moshe has two brothers, both in Chalitza. Instead of Aaron doing Chalitza to Leah and Nachshon marrying Rachel, Aaron did Chalitza to Leah and Nachshon did married Rachel. Okay? So, and on the other set of brothers, Shimon only did Chalitza to one of them, to Rachel. So Levi can still marry Leah. Levi is not a people marrying Leah, right? So because it's not Achos Chalutza. It is Achos Chalutzos, sorry, but that's okay. Once Chalitza's done, he's allowed to marry her, right? That's okay. So Levi can marry Rachel. Even though, who did Chalitza? Nachshon did Chalitza on Rachel, on Leah, but that doesn't have anything to do with him, because that wasn't his brother. So even though Shimon did Chalitza on Rachel, Levi did nothing to any of them. Rachel he can't marry, because Rachel is already was his chalutza. But Leah can marry, because Leah's Achos chalutza. And even though Leah did got chalitza for a brother from the other set, that doesn't impede him from taking her. Okay? Sounds more complicated than it is. But the bottom line is here, let's read it inside. Am I not explaining it? Okay. With this case you got? Okay, in this case what happened is simply two brothers did Chalitza on the two women. Instead of one doing Chalitza, one doing Yibum. So that doesn't affect the other set of brothers. Since only one of the set of the other brothers did Chalitza, the third brother could do Yibum on the remaining one. Now, the trick in both these cases, which Gemara is going to say, I might as well say it now, is in these, although in the case before, the case of the previous Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where it's just one set of brothers, and one does, you know, there's one brother married, we don't know which woman, and he has two brothers, one the Chalitza, one does Yibum. The one that does Yibum can even be a Kohen. But here, the guy that does Yibum cannot be a Kohen. Why is that? Because every woman in these cases underwent Chalitza. A Savi Chalitza, but they underwent Chalitza. And Chalitza makes a woman Pasul Lakuna. So here, Levi, although he can marry Leah, but since Leah underwent the Savi Chalitza to Aaron, so therefore Levi cannot marry her if he's a Kohen. And vice versa, if Nachshon's a Kohen, he can't marry Rachel, since Rachel underwent the Savi Chalitza to Shimon. Even though it's only Savi Chalitza. And even though it's mutually exclusive, right? Because the Chalitza of Leah by Aaron, it might have been meaningless, right? Right? Might have been meaningless. Nevertheless, the fact that there's a Savi Chalitza there makes it forbidden. The Rabbanan. The concept of a chalutza being also with the coins of Rabbanan. But that's enough to make a Muslim, okay? And that's what Gemara is going to say. So first, let's read the Mishnah again. In the middle of the Mishnah. Kadmu shnayim v'chotzu. The second line from the end of the Mishnah. Lo yabmu shnayim. In this case, if the both them chalitza, so they can't do Yibum anymore. El echor choletz v'echom yabim. One of the other set does chalitza, one does Yibum. If b'di'evet Shimon and Levi both did Yibum, so again, as he said before, we do not make them divorce. Okay. Now, although that Adam is also about by Israel, by Kohanim also, but by Kohanim this is all also. Why by Kohanim this is all also? Obviously, as we said, because by Kohen, once a woman underwent the Sabi Chalitza, she's forbidden already to a Kohen. Okay. Mitzvah v'igadol b'yavet. It's always a mitzvah on the oldest brother to do the evil. V'im kadam akatan zocha, but if the katan stepped in, the younger brother did evil, so that's okay, but yeah, it works. Hanitan al shivcha v'nishtachara. If somebody is rumored to have had relations with a maidservant, and then she was released, Nochri, so he's rumored to have relations with a shiksa. He's got her, and then she got converted. Harei Zolikles is not allowed to marry her. Why? Because people say it was true. Okay, it's a Marisayin Aloch. He caught us, so it's only Marisayin. If he did marry her, Emel Tzimio, we don't make him get divorced. Hanita Aleshashish, if somebody was, there was a claim that he was fornicated with another man's wife, and she had to get divorced because of that. Even if he does marry her, Yotzi should divorce her. It's not just a Marisayin issue, but it's Safik, it's a Daraisa. Because if he actually had relations with her while she was married to the other guy, she's forbidden on him forever. So therefore, even if he marries her, he has to get rid of her. Okay, Mitzvah, go to the Abbey. How do we know that the oldest son, remaining son, does Yibum? Shneimat says, for you are Bechor, Asher Teili. It says the Bechor, whom she will give birth. Now, Manachem, what does it mean Bechor? Im Benoilad, if it's talking about the firstborn child of the Yavam and the Yavama, Yomar Kroy, then the Pasuk should say, the Pasuk goes on to say, Yokum Hashem Achiv Hameis. That the Bechor will go instead of his brother. But if the Bechor is talking about the kid, then Yomar Kroy Yokum Al Achi Shem Aviv Hameis. Then it should say, now it's going to come in his brother's place, but in the place of the brother of his father. Because if it's the kid, then he's not going in place of his brother, he's going in place of his father's brother. So therefore, this pasuk Bechor means that this pasuk that says Bechor must be talking about the brother who does Yibum. And it means El Achieh no Bechor. Maybe you're going to say it's going on the maybe you're going to say it's going on the guy who died. And it's saying that that the only time Yibum is relevant is if the kid which will be born by after Yibum is to be a firstborn. But if there were children born beforehand, even if they died, then Yibum is not necessary. Of course, that's not true. But maybe that's how you tie to the pasuk, that only if the noilad will be a bechor, then Yibum is necessary. Not if the noilad is not a bechor. Okay? So maybe that means actually a bechor, only if the newborn kid will be a bechor, then he was relevant. Me'ata afilo ayulo b'ayim u'meisu, if that's the case, even if you had kids who died, v'achakach me'isu, and then the father died, lo t'yeh yishtos kukul yibum, then his wife should not have to yibum. So so that can't be. B'yomar krokos, then the pasuk should say, u'bein ein lo, he doesn't have a son right now, being the criterion for Yibum, rather Ubayim lo hayulo, that he never had any kids. And obviously that's not the case, so therefore even if he had kids and they died, Yibum applies. So if he has kids now, the Yibum doesn't apply. Elos, therefore the concept b'chor could not apply to the child who's being born now. And maybe when you're on the site to a child who's being born now, say Inyan Lemiyabe. It's talking about the person doing Yibum, that he should be the oldest of the remaining. So it's really so the b'chor should be the Ova. Asher Teilei, and who he at, wherever he, and he should give birth to a kid. And this b'chor, the first, the guy who does the evil, Yakum Hashem Achim Ameis, he takes over the property of his deceased brother. Okay? So the next line of the Mishnah says, if there's a rumor about you with a shivcha, and she was released. Nachri says rumor about you and a shiksa of his guy, and she got reconverted. Hareiz lo yichnos. You shouldn't marry her, but b'dievet, if you did, so you can keep her. So it says, where Kiddush, even though he did Kiddushin, but not Nisuin. He didn't get sand on the chuppah, he gave us a ring. That's kamosha konas. It's as if you already married her. And you don't have to divorce her. Amesh lo lichnos. But if Basin told him, don't marry her, and he went there anyway, in other words, they told him explicitly, don't marry her, and he went there anyway, then he's got to divorce her, even if he already married her. Because when we say if he married her, he can keep her, if he didn't come to ask. They came to ask, and he told him no, and he had the chutzpah to go ahead with it anyway, then we compel him to get rid of that wife. Now, Kirish, what if he married this woman he wasn't supposed to, and then he divorced her? Can he take her back? We said he doesn't have to divorce her. What if he did divorce her? Can he take her back? So Imaimer at Kane, if you say he can't take her back, lo nimtzei shmotzi la'az abonea, aren't they going to say bad things about her kids? In other words, they'll say, oh, the marriage wasn't a valid marriage. It must be that her kids are mamzerim. So therefore, if there's a situation where they got married, or we let them stay married, that even if sometime in the middle of their marriage they get divorced for some time, the husband's allowed to take her back, lest people say that if he's not allowed to take her back, that the marriage is not good to begin with. Okay, Anita Ishishish, somebody about whom there are rumors that he had relations with Ishishish, he cannot marry her. If he married her, he must divorce her. Rabbi Marbina made him, it's only there were Adim who actually said that he was Mizana with this Ishishish. Rabbi Yossi's asked, in Benita may ever talk about a case where there were witnesses. Boatani, in this about this case, could you say, Votzio mitachas yodo, that if she had to be divorced from her first husband, then Ava Pisha Konas Yossi, even though he married her, the second husband's guy, he's got to divorce her. Sounds like, that's a very strange Yerushalmi. It sounds like, if he married her, he's got to divorce her. If he married her directly after she got divorced from her first husband. But first she was Mizana under her husband, or allegedly was Mizana. Then after she got divorced, she married somebody else. And then got divorced from the second guy. Then he, the guy who originally had rumors, is allowed to marry her on the second rebound. So if they're Edim, how can you even allow it on the second rebound? So it says the Deek of the Mishnah is Mitachas Yireacher. If you got it on the second rebound, Mikayim. But in Nitan Be'edim, if it was on a double rebound, Afiyu Mitachas Yireacher Yoytzi. I mean, if they're Edim, even if it's a double rebound, you should have to divorce her. So if they're a Tak Edim, no matter how many rebounds down the line this woman has gone through, he can never marry her. Our Mishnah is talking about Benita Shlovedim, where there are rumors, strong rumors, almost verified rumors, without Edim. And therefore they made the wife get divorced from her first husband. But he can't marry her straight away on that rebound. When mitachas reacher, on the double rebound, then yikayim, he's allowed to marry her. I'm not sure why. I guess we figure that if the rumors were so true, then he wouldn't wait for a double rebound. Must be that the rumors are not so true, and that's why in a double rebound it's okay. Okay, we'll have to stop here for today. It's too bad. The next mission was Geschmack. We'll do Monday night is Labor Day, but Emir Hashem, we're planning on learning.